Masechta Tainis, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, Toises Tiri Maschel, V'chol Oisek, B'Toyra Shalo L'Shmo, Terosay Nasis Lois Sama Mavis. The Gemara quotes the famous statement of Rabbi Bano, quoting various psukim in Tanakh, one which implies that the study of Torah is like a healing, it's a medicine that's given to someone who's ill and makes him healthy. And another pasuk implies that Torah study, chalila, could be the opposite, that it could be like a poison and make someone sick or worse. So Rabbi Bano resolves the contradiction between those two psukim by saying that it depends what the attitude is and the intention is in learning the Torah. If the Torah is learned lishma, so then it serves as a positive refuah, as a healing. And if chas v'shalom it's learned shelo lishma, then it could serve as a sama mavis. So Tosis asks a kasha, and the same kasha is asked by Rashi in a few places in Shas, and Tosis themselves in a few places in Shas, that there seem to be contradictions. For kasha, it's difficult to allow minan psachim daf nun amibayz la'olam yasak adam b'torah af agav she'ena lishma, that a person should engage in Torah study. I think the version we have in psachim is to be osek b'torah and b'mitzvos, both the learning of Torah and the performance of mitzvos, even though you're not doing it lishma, even though it's not for the sake of heaven, shemitoch shelo lishma ba lishma. Because even though originally there were ulterior motives, but eventually a person will get to the stage of where he's studying Torah, and again, according to our version of Psachim, performing mitzvos for the sake of heaven. So that implies that the study of Torah, and by extension, the performance of mitzvos, that it should be done shelo lishma in order to get to the stage of lishma. And here, this Gemara, together with other Gemaros, imply that it's disastrous to study Torah shelo lishma. So Tosis gives an answer, which is, again, quoted in a few places. Rashi has this answer in Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, and Tosis there in Brachos says the same thing. So Tosis' answer is follows. Yishlomar de trei shelo lishma havi, that there are two kinds of not for the sake of heaven. The masha, meaning la'olam yasek b'toyra fiul shelo lishma, that which it says in Pesachim that you should always engage in Torah study, even not for the sake of heaven, for an ulterior motive. And that's a positive because it will eventually get you to the proper motive. Hainu, that means kolomar, meaning kidei sheikari rebbe, or kidei sheichabeduhu, that they should call him rebbe, call him a rav, a choshev rav, or they should respect him. So that's an ulterior motive, not because Hashem commanded us, what Rashi here quotes, kasher tzivani Hashem, but rather for kavod. So that is the kind of ulterior motive that is less deadly, and that the Torah doesn't become a sama mavis. It's not ideal, but it's a stepping stone in terms of getting to lishma. Masha min and hocha, and that which it says over here in our Gemara, in Tainus Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, kloisik ba Torah shel lishma, nasal le sama mavis, that if someone engages in Torah study not for the sake of heaven, it becomes like a poison and could destroy him. Hainu misha lomid lekanter, that's referring to someone who learns in order to start up or to just to be argumentative, that through one's Torah knowledge, to be able to show how everyone else is wrong and that you're right, that that's the kind of shelo lishma that's disastrous and ultimately will serve as a source of the learner's ruin. As we mentioned earlier, this approach of Tosis is stated as well by Rashi Masechta Brachis, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, as well as Tosis there. Interestingly, Tosis Masechta Saita, also referenced on the margin here in the Oz V'Hadar edition on the Chaf Beis Amud Beis, gives somewhat of a different approach as to what the shelo lishma is that's disastrous. And that is that someone who is doing averos, in the Torah study, as Tosfos quotes the Gemara in Brachos, that tachlis chochma tshuva masim tovim, the goal of all Torah study is to lead to repentance and to good deeds. But if the person is sinning and he's not interested in having the Torah penetrate him, he's just studying it as a wisdom, and he continues to sin, and perhaps even sins more as a result of the fact that maybe he's full of himself as a result of the Torah study, that adding a bit. So that's the kind of Torah study of shelo lishma that becomes sama mavis, where he's not open to change. But a Torah study that's for an ulterior motive, but he's open to change, so that's the shelo lishma mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. It's further notable that Rashi on our page, again, Tos doesn't quote it with no surprise, because it seems that Tos didn't have the Rashi on Masechta Tainis, which is probably not Rashi. So Rashi here gives exactly the pshat that Tosis seemingly rejects. That the shelo lishma that the Gemara here is telling us is deadly is exactly in order to be called Rebbe. In other words, for kavod. That which Tosis says the Gemara in Pesachim is advising in order to use as a stepping stone to get to lishma, Rashi here says is a sama mavis. So presumably Rashi here will have to come up with some other interpretation of the Gemara in Pesachim as to when shelo lishma can be an appropriate stepping stone in order to get to Lishma, since here he says that for kavod is also deadly. But that's not the standard pshat, as we said earlier. The popular pshat is as we have in our Tosis here. Tos de Maschilim Talmud Chacham Hogun Mimeno Tocheil. The Gemara quotes the statement of Reb Zeira in the name of Reb Yochanan, quoting the pasuk in Parashat Shoftim, comparing the person, seemingly, if we read it literally, to an Eitz HaSadeh, Ki HaAdam Eitz HaSadeh. And within that parsha, it speaks about kimimeno socheil, that if it's a fruit tree, that you eat from it, v'oso lo sichros, and you shouldn't chop it down. On the other hand, if it's a non-fruit-bearing tree, v'oso sashchis v'charata, you should cut it down and cut it off. Again, l'fi pshuto shel mikra, it's talking about a siege, that if you need wood in order to besiege the city, that if one has fruit trees, one shouldn't cut them down for the siege, and they should only use non-fruit-bearing trees for the siege. But according to the level of drash, reading here, Adam Eitz HaSadeh, that a person is compared to the Eitz HaSadeh, so then Rabbi Yochanan explains that it depends what the person is like in terms of whether or not you should study Torah from him. If he's a Talmud Chacham Hogun, if he's an appropriate, a proper Talmud Chacham, who has good midos and follows the Torah, so then Mimenu Tocheil, V'solo Sichros, and don't seek out other Rebbeim, as we'll see from the Tosfos. But if not, if he's not a Talmud Chacham Hogun, that even though he's wise, but his midos aren't proper, or he doesn't have proper deos, proper ashkafos, so then you should cut him off and go elsewhere. So that's what Tosis is going to elaborate on, and he's going to ask a kasha from a certain Gemara, but this is, of course, similar to Rashi's interpretation as well. Im Talmud Chacham Hogun u'mena tocheil pirish, meaning lemod lefanov, learn before him, or learn from him. V'oso lo sichros, don't cut him off, kelomar lo tipareid mimeno leleich lefnei rav acher. Don't separate from him to go to another rav. It's interesting, different indications in the Gemara as to when it's good to have multiple rebbeim and when one should stick to one rav. Perhaps there's a difference between lamdus and halacha, that for halacha should have one rav, not to be confusing. But in terms of lamdus and developing a derech halimut, to there it could be helpful to have multiple approaches. Again, Tosis here explains the Gemara to mean that one should not go to another Rav. Again, not abundantly clear as to what kind of learning one is doing with that Rav. Vim Lav, on the other hand, if the Rav in question is not an appropriate Talmud Chacham, lo tilmud lefanav, you shouldn't learn before him, lest presumably you'll develop those bad midos or those bad hashkafos. So Tosis now has the following kasha. V'hodam rinan delom demi Talmud Chacham af bish einu hogun. And that which you find in the Gemara, specifically Chagiga Daf Tesvav, where we have Rabbi Meir learned from the famous Acher, the former Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya, was one of the greatest Talmid Chachamim, and unfortunately, as a result of drinking the bitter waters, a Greek wisdom, a Greek music, he became an apikoris. So all the other Chachamim were perished from him. Rabbi Meir kept learning from him. Famous story, how he's following him on Shabbos, as his former Rebbe is riding a horse, and Acher tells his student Reb Meir that I measured out with the paces of my horse that we're about to pass the Tchum Shabbos. So I'm a Machal Shabbos because I'm an Apikoris. So I'm going further. But you should go back. Chazor Bacha! Go back, because you'll pass the Tchum. And then Reb Meir screams out to his Rebbe, no, Rebbe, you Chazor Bacha! There's always hope. And you could always be Chayzer B'tshuva. And the Gemara has a continuation of that story. And ultimately, Reb Meir, after his Rebbe passed away, takes efforts to try to bring his Rebbe to, ultimately, sad story, to Gehinnom and then to Gan Eden. Before that, he was in suspended animation. And then I think Reb Yochanan, the later generation, was able to stop the fires of Gehinnom from affecting him. And then ultimately, Reb Elisha ben Avuya does go to Gan Eden. So Tosis now asks that we see that Rabbi Meir did learn from a Talmud Chacham she'enu hogun, right? The former Rabbeinu Elisha ben Avuya became Acher, became an Apikoros, and yet Rabbi Meir was still learning from him. So how can our Gemara say so absolutely that a Talmud Chacham she'enu hogun you cannot learn from him? So Tosis answers, Hainu dafka Talmud Chacham, or according to the Gerson parentheses, Talmud Chacham Acher, that if you have another Talmud Chacham, presumably the two Girsos, of whether we're willing to call the Talmud Chacham She'enu Hogun a Talmud Chacham, so a solid Talmud Chacham could learn even from a Talmud Chacham who, according to that example of Rabbi Meir, was even totally off the derech, even an apikoros, yachal lilmud lefanav, he could learn from him, l'fi shelo yilmud b'masav, that he's not in danger of learning from his bad deeds or bad hashkafis. And indeed, although it's interesting, the Tosfos doesn't verbatim quote the Gemara, but the Gemara Chagiga and Tosfos Beis tells us, quoting a contradiction in Psukim, as to whether or not the Rebbe has to be like a malach in order to learn from him, or you just take what's good from the Rebbe, and the rest you throw out, as the Gemara says about Rabbi Meir, that he ate the inner part of the fruit and he threw out the shell. So the Gemara says, Haba Gadol Haba Katan. When you have a great person, he is able to learn even from people who have great Torah knowledge, even though their midos and their hashkafos are corrupt. Tosfos continue, Avalim, Eino Talmud Chacham. That's like the Gemara Chagiga, that Haba Katan, Eino Rashoi Lilmud Lefanov. So one would not be able to learn from such a person. Tosfos is mashma that all Talmid Chachamim are able to learn from Talmid Chachamim who are Eino Hogum in some way. Simple reading of the Gemara and Chagiga is Haba Gadol Haba Katan. It could be that they're both Talmid Chachamim, but you need a super duper duper Talmud Chacham of the caliber of a mayor to be able to take that risk of learning from a Rebbe who's Eino Hogum. Otherwise, Chalila, one might learn from his actions. Somewhat Sarachi and how Tosfos learned that Gemara, but Gadol B'Katan sounds like in a simple reading of Tosfos, distinguishing between a Talmud Chacham and not a Talmud Chacham. I think other Rishayim assume, this is what I remember from the Rivash, we'll quote in just a second, that it means a giant of the earth is able to learn from even a questionable Talmud Chacham. But even someone who's perhaps called a Talmud Chacham, but he's not such a gigantic Talmud Chacham, that would be too risky. The interesting tshuva, the Rivash, that we briefly mentioned earlier in Simon Mem Hei, where he justifies the approach of the Rambam, who studied heretical works, sometimes a philosophy that go against our Hashkafa, and many other Rishonim were upset with the Rambam for that, and that's very much part of the Maimonidean controversy. So the Rivash defends the Rambam by saying that he was following the approach of Reb Meir, to try to take the nuggets of truth, even from works that have some truth in them, but a lot of things that are minimally nonsense or maximally apikorsis. And the Rivash writes, it was very dangerous, because several of the views of the Rambam he felt were influenced by that, and were non-normative. And that's what he writes, that Milano Gadol Kerabena Moshe, that even he studied these works, and nonetheless, again, from the perspective of other Chachamim, obviously those who agree with the Rambam this wouldn't say that, from the perspective of other Chachamim felt that the Rambam erred by adopting certain viewpoints that were not the standard Torah viewpoints. And ultimately, that Rivash is an important source about the whole controversy about to what extent other wisdoms can be studied, especially to the extent that they touch upon anti-Torah views, to what extent one could extrapolate the nuggets of truth and ignore the falsehood, throw away the falsehood, or should one not do that altogether because it's just too dangerous lest one fall in. But the beginning of the discussion, as we see from this Tosis, is only for a Talmud Chacham, or according to what I quoted earlier, Haba Gadol, a super-duper Talmud Chacham. It's time to dabble in works that are anti-Torah just because there are some nuggets of truth in there is certainly fraught with danger. And the Gemara warns us very greatly against that, even to study Torah from someone who's not Hogun, and all the more so from works of literature or science or philosophy that are Eino Hogun. Tais Divi Maschil, Af Divrei Torah V'chulei. Gemara toward the end of the Daf quotes two teachings, one in the name of Rabbi Chanina Baridi, who notes that in Tanakh, Torah is compared to water, and one in the name of Rabbi Oshaya, that in Tanakh, Torah is compared to three liquids, to Mayim, Yayin, V'chalav, to water, wine, and milk. So Rabbi Chanina Baridi teaches us that water goes from a high place to a low place, falls on the mountains, and eventually makes itself to the wadis and the rivers, etc. And Rabbi Shai teaches us that these three liquids of Mayim, Yayin, and Cholav, they are stored in very cheap utensils, earthenware utensils, in order that they should stay. If they're stored in expensive utensils, they would spoil. The common denominator is that it all represents humility. The Torah that's studied by a budding Talmud Chacham, if the person is humble, then he will greatly succeed. And if he's a Bal Gaiva, if he's full of himself, then unfortunately he will not succeed, or certainly not succeed as much as he could have. The Divrei Torah Meskaimin, and someone who's an Onav, who's Mashpil himself. So Tosfos now takes a little bit of a grand tour of Gemara and Midrashim, quoting related sources about first focusing on the fact that Torah can truly be absorbed and a person could grow truly great with someone who's humble. And then he digresses a bit in terms of the centrality of when one is learning to put all one's efforts into it, that it should be one's main goal in life rather than other pursuits. So let's begin. So too we say in Masech Te'erevin and Daf Nun Hayamad Aleph, quoting the Pasuk in Parashas Nitzavim, Lo Bashamayim Hi, Velo Me'er Layam Hi. Different Perushim in the Rishonim as to what the subject of the He is, what is it that's not in the heavens and not Me'er Layam, the Gemara is assuming it's going on Torah, as Rashi also in Chumash explains. Lo Bashamayim Hi is not in the heavens, Velo Me'er Layam Hi is not on the other side of the ocean. Kelomar, meaning, says the Gemara in Erevin, Lo timsa Torah v'misha magbia atzmo kashamayim. You will not find the Torah in someone who raises himself like the heavens. Shedato gavoa, that his mindset is very exalted and lofty, meaning that he is a Balgaiva, that he's full of himself and he's not properly humble. Tosis continue. So far, Tosis, we're quoting the drush on Shan Lo B'Shamayimi. Now we have the drush on Lo Me'Ever Hayami. V'lo B'Socharim Aholchem in Medina Sayam Be'Ever Hayam. And not in the merchants who travel to the other side, the far reaches of the earth, over the oceans, in order to trade. It's interesting that this indeed is the view of Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara in Erevin, that Lo B'Shamayim is going on haughtiness, not to have that in order to be able to absorb Torah properly, because it's Lo B'Shamayim, it doesn't rest with those who are haughty. But the Lo Me'Ever Hayami is talking about something else, that someone who is engaged most of his waking hours with business pursuits, so the even if he is learning to some extent, but that will not be Meskayim, because he's not devoting enough time to it. It's interesting that earlier in the Gemara quotes Rava, that both halves of the Pasuk are going on the centrality of anava, of humility in studying Torah. Lo B'Shamayim refers to someone who is exalted and raises himself high like the heavens. That's one form of gaiva. That's one allusion to gaiva. V'lo Me'Ever LaYam, the yam, the sea, is very wide. So someone who is, treats himself in a very expansive way, also a reference to gaiva. So that's Lo Me'Ever LaYam, he will not succeed in Torah. So for purposes of Tosis' presentation, presumably you should have quoted Rava, because that's all about gaiva. So perhaps the reason that Tosis preferred Rabbi Yochanan, because that's looking to see, now he's going to quote a whole slew of sources that indicate that wholehearted dedication to Torah study is the only way to succeed. So that's why I quoted this other idea, which he is now developing, the idea of the Sochari Hayam, that they will generally not succeed in Torah. Now Tosis quotes a Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah, as they point out on the margin, on the Yud Zayin Amabez, the Isafra Loi Saifa. The Saifa Lo Safra. Gemara there records that one of the Amoraim, Rabbi Elazar ben Prata, together with Rabbi Hananya ben Trajan, were both seized by the Romans for high crimes and misdemeanors. They hadn't done anything wrong objectively, but basically they were teaching Torah, doing other mitzvos, and there were other trumped-up charges that were lodged against them. So the Gemara records that Rabbi Elazar ben Prata was tried on 5 criminal counts. One of them was that he taught Torah, and one of them is that he was a thief. So when they challenged him, that what do you say about the charge of the fact that you're a ganef and the fact that you're teaching Torah? So he said, wait a second, those are self-contradictory. And that's the quote that Tosis quotes here. Isafra lo saifa, visaifa lo safra. If you're telling me I'm a Torah scholar, I'm teaching Torah, safra, meaning I'm teaching from books, lo saifa, then I can't be engaged in pursuits that have to do with the sword. Namely, a ganef who's going to threaten his victims with the sword. V'yisaifa, lo safra. That if I'm using the sword to be a ganef and I'm occupying my time with that, then clearly I can't be a Talmud Chacham and teaching Torah. So Tosis is using that in a broader context, that if one is pursuing other activities, even non-sinful activities such as ganefa, but if one is involved in other activities, that is going to detract from the ability to teach Torah. And even though, of course, Rabbi Elazar ben Prata was saying that to get off the hook, and it worked, because they dismissed those 2 charges, realizing that it was somewhat contradictory, but Tosis is assuming that this is a true concept. If one does not wholeheartedly engage in Torah study, devoting all one's time, or at least most of one's time to that, one will not succeed. And as we also have, again, in Erevin, the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, that the Torah will not exist in the merchants, Sacharonin, V'lo B'Tagorin, different words for merchants. Perhaps one refers more to a sea merchant. One refers more to someone who's not a sea merchant, but also a wholesaler or retailer. Then the notes on the side point out the continuation of the Tosfos actually is from a Medrash Rabbah in Parashas Nitzavim, not an Erevin. V'lo B'Istrologin, the Torah will not rest with those who are engaged in, presumably here it means astronomy, kalomar, meaning, ba'osen sheroen bekochavim, those who engage in looking at the stars. Sounds like it's talking about astrology, but astrology is a prohibited wisdom. The Torah bans that, so presumably here it means more like what we would call astronomy. So the Medrash continues, amalei l'shmuel, so they said to Shmuel, v'hamar istrologus hu, that the master, meaning you, Shmuel, are an expert astronomer, so how could that be? But you're a great Talmud Chacham, and here we have a teaching that the Torah will not be found among astronomers. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Nun Ches Mabez, records that Shmuel states, nehirin li shvili derekia, kishvili den ardo, that I'm such an expert in the pathways of the constellations and the other bodies in the sky, just like the streets of Nardoa, which was Shmuel's hometown where he was a Rosh Hashiva. So they were asking Shmuel, so how could you be such a great Talmud Chacham? You're also a master astronomer. Amalahu. So he answered them, Tesi Li, and may I get credit. It's an expression literally made come to me. Deloma Ainabahu Elabi Eden the Nafka Lamaya, that I only look into this wisdom at the time that literally I'm going out to water is a euphemism for using the bathroom. So this is the famous idea that they say in the yeshivas, that if you're studying other wisdoms, you're studying in the bathroom. Pirish, Tos explains, lahatl mayim, as we said earlier, using the facilities. V'lo ani mevatl atzmi, and I am not being mevatl Torah, I'm always learning. So this concept of being successful in Torah study, to be wholeheartedly and singularly devoted to it, of course, needs a much broader analysis. As the Gemara at the end of Kiddushin quotes Machlokes Tanoim about whether one should only study Torah or one should study Torah and also a trade in terms of a father's obligations to the children to make sure they have a parnasa, and the exact balance between Torah study and other pursuits, family pursuits and business pursuits, is something that certainly needs a lot of analysis. But of course, one main thrust, as summarized by Chazal in Pirkei Avos, that the Torah should be the Iker, and the other pursuit should be the Tofil. And as Rishonim discuss at length, whether the Iker and the Tofil is a matter of hours, or the Iker and Tofil is a matter of attitude, but certainly the more one is able to dedicate to Torah study, the more one will succeed to become a Talmud Chacham, famous words of the Rambam, Perek Gimel, about the difference between the obligation of studying Torah and the acquisition of Keser Torah, the crown of Torah, which requires a much more all-encompassing dedication to Torah study, which Tosis quotes several sources on in this brief presentation. The next Tosis, the Avosano Avachakim Itvei, more properly belongs to Dav Zayin Mabeis. Masech the Tainis, Dav Zayin Mabeis, Tosis Vimaschil, I Avosano Avachakim Itvei, which actually appears on the bottom of the Zayin Amar Aleph. The Gemara had recorded the somewhat humorous interchange between the daughter of the Caesar and Rishua Mechananya, the famous Rishua from all over the Gemara. Apparently she enjoyed discussing philosophy with him. So she commented, since Rishua Mechananya, his appearance was not of the most handsome. So she kind of bemoaned the fact that you're so wise, but yet you have Chochem Efu'ara in a Kli Mechor. You have such a great mind, but in an ugly utensil. So Rishua gave a whole mushel, in a dramatic way, showing that if you put wine into silver and gold utensils, it's going to spoil. So too, the wisdom is able to stay more in this lowly utensil that, of course, ties into the Gemara, that someone could more greatly succeed in Torah if they're humble. So the daughter of the Caesar challenged, but there are handsome people who also are learned. So how does that work? So on that, and that's what Tos picks up on, that I havu sanu tfei havu gemiri. So Tosfos explain, what does that mean? Pirish, em hayusonim hayofi, that the word sanu means that if they would hate the beauty, that even if they are handsome, but if they doesn't mean anything to them, they're not full of themselves, they don't look at themselves in the mirror and say, wow, yeah, like a movie star, unbelievable looks, they're not preoccupied with that, doesn't mean anything to them, then havu talmidei chachamim biyosef, that as the Bach explains, that what Tosfos is driving at, that you could have a handsome Talmud Chacham, but if the good looks don't mean anything to him, so then they will really succeed in learning. But if on the other hand, you have a handsome Talmud Chacham that he's somewhat occupied with his looks, so then he will not succeed as much. And that's Rabbi Yoshua's comment here, that if they hated Yofi, then they would be even wiser. It's interesting, as the Bach notes, that Rashi, again on Zion Rebbe's, where the Torah belongs, seems to, with his brief words, give a different interpretation of Rabbi Yoshua's comment to the daughter of the Caesar. Rashi's words are, reading it together with the Ibn Maschil, I havu sanu osam noim sheim chachamim, tfei havu gumiri. The next Rashi, she efshel anoa lahash balatzmo avoli de shikha. It sounds like from Rashi that all handsome Talmid Chachamim are somewhat hampered by their good looks and will never be able to come as great as they could have had they been uglier. The words of Rashi seem to mean, I havu sanu osam noim sheim chachamim, literally, if those handsome chachamim were hated, meaning if they were ugly, literally hated, but in this context were ugly, then they would become really great, because then they would be truly humble. Tosfos is saying that you could have a handsome Talmud Chacham who will also be truly great, provided the looks don't really mean anything to him. And that's what the Bach says, but we have a Masorah of very enormously great Talmid Chachamim who were enormously successful, even though they had a very beautiful appearance. One is Yaakov Avinu, and the other is Rabbi Avohu, and they were great Talmid Chachamim. So with Tosfos, you could have a Talmid Chacham who's handsome and still be enormously successful because the looks don't mean anything to them. As opposed to Rashi Pshat, where the uglier you are, the more successful you would be. And this is, of course, the Tosfos that appear on Zayin and Beis. The Gemara quotes the statement of Rav Chama Rav Chanina that Gadol Yom HaGshamim Ki Yom Shenivru Shemayim V'Aretz. Great is the day that it rains like the creation of heaven and earth. And they quote a pasuk from Tehillim: Harifu Shemayim Mimal Ushchokim Yitzlu Tzedek Tiftach Eretz V'Yifu Yesha Tztoka Tatzmiach Yachad Ani Hashem Birosiv. The pasuk seems to be talking about Shemayim and Eretz and all kinds of subject matter here, but yet at the end it doesn't say Ani Hashem Birosim, I created them, but Birosiv, I created it. So commenting on that, the reference must be the rain, which is somehow greater than heaven and earth. How does that tie in specifically to the Gemara? Let's also explain. Pirish. The mashma de mahadar ageshem. The fact that it says birasiv, I created it, sounds like it's going on rain. In a similar way, Rashi says going on tal and motor, on dew and rain. Where is rain in the pasuk? So rain does not seem to be directly mentioned in the pasuk, but perhaps it's referred to by ushchokim yizlu tzedek, that the skies will drip tzedek, righteousness literally, but in this context, a reference to rain, presumably. So that's birasiv. Vim Kain, Kantosis continue, Mishum de Gadol Yom HaGshamim Ki Yom Shenivru Bo Shemayim V'Aretz Mishtabech BeHaKadosh Baruch Hu, that because the day of the rain is so great, and it's equivalent to the day of creation itself of the heaven and earth, therefore Hashem is stressing birasiv, that I created it, namely rain. And Tosis explained the contrast to had it said birasim. I have a ksiv birasim, with a mem, the plural, I created them, have a mashma de ahader ashamayim v'aretz. That would imply that it's going on heaven and earth. That would be the plural. And shamayim and eretz, I mentioned the pasuk. Harifu shamayim, mimal, etc., etc. Tiftach eretz. So you have shamayim and eretz, a plurality. It's interesting that even Shemayim itself is a plural word, and that would also deserve birasim. Rashi, in a somewhat similar way, comments that the antecedent that it would be going on would be shchakim, which is also plural, another synonym for sky, had it said birasim, and that would refer to Shemayim. Rashi doesn't focus so much on Eretz. Tosfos says Eretz because he wants to tie it into Gadol Yom HaGshamim Ki Yom Shenivru Shemayim VeEretz. Tosfos Yemaskel Panim Nizamim Lishon Saser. The Gemara quotes the statement of Rav Shimon ben Pazi that Ein HaGshamim Netzarin El B'Shvil Misapri Lashon Hara, that one of the things that is going to cause rain to stop, that there should be a drought, Chas V'Shalom, are those who speak Lashon Hara. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Mishlei, Ruach Tzafon Techol Ol Geshem Ufonim Nizamim Lashon Saser, the literal meaning of which is that a northern wind will blow away the rain, Rashi quotes, from the Lashon of Lo Yachel, will stop the rain and blow away the clouds, Ufonim Nizamim Lashon Saser. And an angry face is the hidden speech. In the versions we have of Rashi and Tosis, they switch the word saser to sheker. So on the margins, they point out they should switch it back. Shouldn't be lashon saser. Not a false speech, but a hidden speech. Because lashon hara, as the Chofetz Chaim points out at length in his magnum opus of Chofetz Chaim, that of course lashon hara and mechilas are usher, even if it's true. But it's called lashon saser, because usually it is hidden from the one that one is speaking about. So, in explaining the drasha, that how the first half of the pasuk of Ruach Tzafon Techol Ol Geshem, which refers to elimination of rain, how that exactly ties into the second half of the pasuk of Panim Nizamim Lashon Saser, and hence we darshan that Lashon Hara causes the elimination of the rain. So Tos explains as follows, and Rashi explains very similarly. Perish Bishvil Lashon Sheker, again we're going to change it to Lashon Saser, because of the hidden speech, Sheomer Lashon Hara, comma, Haruach Tzafon Tevatel HaGeshem. So the northern wind will nullify the rain. Again, that's the way Tosfos is explaining the word Techolel, similar to Rashi. It'll blow away the clouds. V'hainu Panim Nizamim. And that's exactly this idea of the angry face, meaning, so to speak, the angry face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, leading to the Gzeira that there won't be rain. The full pasuk being read as Ruach Tzafon Techolel HaGeshem. Why? Ufanan Nizamim Lashon Saser. Why does the northern wind blow away the clouds and cause no rain to fall? Because there is divine wrath, an angry face, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of Lashon Saser, because of the Lashon Hara and the Rechilus. Taisi v'maschil mutal krosa rasha. The Gemara quoted the statement of Rabba Bar Rav Huna, that anyone who has azas ponim, anyone who's brazen and he acts in a chutzpedik manner inappropriately, mutal krosa rasha, the one is allowed to call him a wicked one. They quote a pasuk to verify that teaching. that someone who was brazen is called a Rasha, Pasuk from Mishlei. So Tosfos raises a contradiction with other Gemaras. What will cross a Rasha? Even though we say in Kiddushin, one who calls his friend a Rasha, Yorid Imul Chayev, and he has the right to what normally would be considered unfair competition or other business activities that would cause the other person's ruination, which of course certainly would be Aser. But if Reuven calls Shimon a Rasha, then Shimon is allowed to do things in order to ruin Reuven's livelihood, which is what Yorid Imul Chayev means. So how could here our Gemara quote a permit to call someone a Rasha when the Gemara Kedushin points out that that's so horrible to do? The Tosfos explain and resolve those Gemaras. L'zeh mutter. This Azponim, this brazen individual, it's mutter to do so. Devadai nichshal b'aveira. Because certainly he must have sinned, as the Gemara quotes earlier from Rav Nachman and other Amoraim, that an Azponim is much more likely to sin. The language of Rav Nachman is b'yadua shenichshal b'aveira. It's known that he must have sinned, which is even stronger than the statement of Rav Sala in the name of Rav Hamnuna that he is destined to sin. Rav Nachman is saying he already did sin. But Omeid b'mordo, Tosfos continue, and he's still maintaining his rebelliousness. Da'akoras panav unsabo. Tosfos is quoting an expression that's rooted in a verse in Yeshaya that you could see from the face the fact that he is an Azponim and brazen, that literally testifies about him that he must have already sinned. So what Tosfos is assuming, that someone is a sinner, you're allowed to call him a Rasha. This assumption is presumably based on many Gemaras describing various sinful activities, that the person who does them is Nikra Rasha, is called a Rasha, implying that one is allowed to call him a Rasha. Among them, most famously, one who lifts up a hand to hit a fellow Jew is called a Rasha, and the Gemara Kiddushin of someone who engages in some kind of unfair practice called Aniyam Hapich Bacharara, where someone is about to get something and someone else swoops in and takes it instead of him. So he's also called a Rasha. So that's what Tosfos' premise is, that someone who sins is called a Rasha. And here he's saying that Azasponim, even though in and of itself, that sounds like from Tosfos that would not permit to call him a Rasha, but since it's indicative of the fact that he has sinned, so therefore there's a permit to call him a Rasha. I saw in the Sefer called Chavrusa, which is an elucidation of the Gemara and all of Shas, that noted that Rashi sounds like that it's the Azasponim itself, the brazenness, that unfortunately awards this person the title Rasha. Not necessarily the fact that it indicates that he sinned in another way, which is what Tosfos assumes, that it's only because he sinned in another way that you're allowed to call him a Rasha, but that the actual brazenness itself is the sin that allows calling this person a Rasha. The direct application of this, halacha lemaisa, one should certainly consult with a seasoned posek, as to bizmanenu, especially with so many people who have abandoned the Torah path, as to when this is permissible, and even when it's permissible, when it is advisable. My impression is that certainly bizmanenu, these are not advisable activities in our era, to call someone a Rasha, even if you know that he has sinned. Last us on the page, the Maskel Behorin, the Gemara quotes the statement of the Tana Dever Rabbi Shmuel, of the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, that Afil B'Shar Sharkiya Nasin Behorin Behorin Lahorit Talamotar Ruach Ovra Vatetarein, that even if the sky is filled with Behorin, which in context clearly means clouds, in order to bring about the rain, but a wind will go and blow them away as a result of various averos. The context that the Gemara is talking about is Bittul Torah. So Tosfos just elaborates on the meaning of Behorin. Lashon Beharos. Beharos, of course, is a word in the Torah in Parashas Tazria, talking about certain saras that is white, but nonetheless is tohor. Beharos, Beharos, Levanos, Boaku, Tahorhu. Related, of course, to the word Beharis, which usually means Saras that's Tomei. But either way, the common denominator is that they're white. Tosfos quotes a French word, Trox Belaz, some kind of whiteness. Obviously a reference to the white clouds. Rashi explains this word Behorin in a very similar manner.